As promised, I have with me Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Thank God, Baruch Hashem. How are you?
I am very good.
That's good. So I'm hoping everyone had a wonderful Yom Kippur, spiritually uplifting and meaningful, and an easy fast. And now we're on to
Sukkot,
the joyous part of this month.
Yeah, we are done with the torture.
Depends if it's torture or not.
Yeah, you're right.
But yes, the harder part is over. Now it's more the joyous part, the cause, the Simchat Torah, the beauty, the absolute beauty of what the Judaism and Torah is all about. So we're going to look at what is Sukkot. Sukkot is a week-long Jewish holiday that comes 5 days after Yom Kippur, and it celebrates the gathering of the harvest, and it commemorates the miraculous protection that God provided for the Jewish children and for Israel when they left Egypt. Now, because of that, we celebrate Sukkot by dwelling in a covered, not really covered, but a booth, a sukkah, that we put outside, whether it be with canvas or wood or whatever your make that you're going to be using. And that's what we do for 8 days. Eat in there. A lot of people sleep in there. And we do everything. And one of the reasons why we have a sukkah, if you go and look at, if there's a very strong wind or ice storm or hurricane, the sukkah is going to blow away. And the reason is because it's not a permanent thing. It's supposed to be non-permanent. And the idea is in life, life is not a permanent thing. We're not here forever. We don't know how long we're here for. It's non-permanent. All we know is that we should make the best excuse me. We should make the best out of whatever we have today. Everyone knows the first day of Sukkot is Sunday, this Sunday evening, which is also happens to be the Canadian Thanksgiving, a long weekend. And there are many different things that we do on Sukkot. But let's just look, for example, the actual Sukkot, the holiday of Sukkot. Of all the Jewish holidays, Sukkot is the only one whose date does not seem to commemorate a historic event. Because the Torah refers to it by two names. Chag HaAsif, the festival of ingathering, or the festival of harvest, the harvest festival,
yeah.
And Chag HaSukkot, the festival of booths, each expressing a reason for the holiday. But it's not a commemoration of a historic event. For example, Pesach, we have a historic event. We left Egypt.
Yeah.
Hanukkah, we have a historic event. The Greeks tried to kill us. We survived. Exactly. So Sukkot is the only time that we do not. And it really shows on the fact as well as the name Chag HaSukkot commemorates the temporary dwellings as we spoke about that God made to shelter our ancestors on the way out of Egypt. Now, what does it mean that we dwell in the Sukkah? For 7 days and nights, we eat all our meals in the Sukkah, which, in really essence, it becomes our home. It's located under the open sky, and it has the walls, and then it has typical either bamboo or pine or palm branches that go on the top. And the goal is to spend as much time as possible in the Sukkah at least if you can't spend a lot of time, at least a little bit of time eating in the Sukkah. Now, on Sukkot, most people probably also know the idea that we have the Arba Minim. The Arba Minim are the four species that we take every day of Sukkot and we make a blessing of it. And what are they? They are the Lulav, the palm branch, the hadas, the myrtle, the arava, the willow, and the etrog, which is the citrus. Now, we spoke about this many times. I think it's so important because specifically today in our generation and lately, people start making factions and different people and different divisions in the Jewish religion and in the Jewish community. Then, well, you're like this, you observe this, and you do that, and you do this, and you go there, and you don't go here, and you maybe this, and therefore I can't talk to you, or you're not really a good Jew, or you're this type of Jew. Sukkot really, really comes to amplify this idea that it does not make a difference what type of Jew you are, and I'll explain what I mean that in a minute, but we're all equal. So let's look for example. You have the lulav, the palm tree, right? It's the spine, represents the spine. A lulav coming from a palm tree has taste. Doesn't have a scent, but it has a taste. That represents someone that does a lot of Torah, but does not do any mitzvah. So he has the taste, but he doesn't have the scent. Then you have the hadas, which is the myrtle, which looks like an eye. And that represents, it has a smell, has a scent, but it does not have a taste. That represents the Jew that does mitzvot, the commandments, but does not do the Torah, does not learn. Then you have the arava, which is the willow. Well, if you look at it, it looks like lips.
Yeah.
That has, if you smell it, it has no taste, and it has no scent. It represents the Jew that does not do any Torah, and does not do any mitzvot, no commandments. He does nothing. Absolutely nothing. Zero. Then you have the etrog, which is the citrus. It has a taste, and it has a scent. Representing a Jew that does the Torah, and the mitzvot, both of them. And what do we do with all four of these? The lulav, the hadas, the arava, the etrog. What do we do with all of them? We bind them together, and we make a bracha, a blessing together, holding it all together, showing, and God is showing us, that regardless of what type of Jew you are, we are all equal, we are all one under God, no matter what. Yes, God wants us to do better, and God would like us to follow in His ways, and so on and so forth. But, to judge people, and to be able to say, you do this, and you don't do this, that is contradictory, that is wrong, according to what we're learning now, what it says in Sukkot. We are all equal, we all come together. And no matter who you are, you all have that ability to make that blessing on that lulav and etrog. And I think it is such a powerful lesson that we can all learn, specifically a day after Yom Kippur. Where we came from Yom Kippur, we were all energized, we all felt spiritual, we asked forgiveness, we promised what we're going to do, we took on new resolutions. Everything is beautiful. We're starting with a new train of thought. We're starting with a new slate. Everything is clean. But we should remember, we do not judge other people. What we do is we bring people together to be able to show that everyone, whether you do Torah, Mitzvot, one of them, or neither of them, you're all equal under God. And one last thing, we know that on the coast, we also have something called the seven visitors that come and visit us each of the days of Sukkot. And who are the seven? They are called the Ushpizim.
Yep.
I don't know if anyone's ever seen there was a video, a movie made.
Right.
Ushpizim.
There was a movie Ushpizim, very good one.
Very, very interesting. Very, very good. And, you know, I gotta say, there's a lot, not that I've seen this one up, that I just haven't had time, but there's a lot of things that are coming out in representing Jewish religion. Like, some people always ask me, have you watched the series on Schlissel?
Yeah, I watched it too.
So, I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, so we've got to be proud of who we are. But anyway, so there are seven visitors that come and visit us on Sukkot. There's Abraham, there's Isaac, there's Jacob, there's Moses, Aaron, Joseph, and David. And we're not alone. We're sit in the sukkah, we're not alone. We're together with everyone. And I think that is a very, very important message that we can share with sukkah. And I hope everyone will try and keep take to heart this idea that we're all equal. We're all the fourth beast. We're different, but we're all equal. We're all together under God. I think that is one of the most important lessons that we can learn from Sukkot. And it's actually very interesting, you know, in Hebrew school this past week, so we were talking about, because the way that everything fell out, you know, it's so quick, Sukkot, Kippur, so we spoke, and the kids were made beautiful, each of the four classes, they made beautiful decorations that are going to be put up in the big sukkah. And they made the older two classes made these huge welcome Bruchim Habayim signs on canvas mats and beautiful. And so it gave me an opportunity to see with the kids, you know, when the kids are painting and drawing and coloring it in, making it a beautiful thing. I said, what do you gain? What do you take out of Sukkot? What do you like from Sukkot? And one of the kids piped up and said, which I thought was very interesting, said that, you know, everyone has their houses. Big houses, beautiful houses, small houses, expensive houses, beautiful things inside, non-beautiful things inside. And we can see how wealthy one person is versus another person. Come Sukkot. We all have the same Sukkah. It can't be low, it can't be high, it's got to be this size. We can decorate it nicely inside, but it's all the same Sukkah. And that's the beauty of Judaism. We're all equal. And when that kid told me, I was like, well, you know what? I guess we're doing some right. You've got to teach the kids right.
Yeah.
So that was beautiful. And then we have our annual community sukkah dinner, which is Sunday night. A little late, but whoever still would like to come, it's not too late if they want to RSVP by the end of today. They can call 519-256-2572, or they can email me, windsorrabbi@gmail.com, if you would like to join us for our community. It's our 10th already communal annual sukkah dinner, the first night of Sukkot.
Wow, the 10th one.
Which is Sunday evening. This Sunday evening. Yep. Yeah. Time flies, as they say, when you're having fun.
That's it. Time flies when you're having fun. Rabbi, I want to wish you Chag Sameach, and God willing, we'll talk with you next week.
Yes, God willing.
Thank you.
All right, be well. Bye-bye.